In the name of the one holy, undivided Trinity, one God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, that was a fun section of the gospel, wasn't it? Do you ever get the feeling that Jesus likes being complicated? Like he enjoys pulling our chain? Sometimes when I read our sacred text and begin to wrestle with it, I get the mental picture of Jesus laughing as he reminisces on the words that he had left us. Reading this week's gospel was no exception to this daydream. If you remember from last week, we read through and pondered Jesus' saying on salt and light. Alongside that, we learned that Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Which is interesting concerning today's reading from Matthew. We hear this pattern emerge from the reading, "You have heard, but I say." Doesn't seem like he's fulfilling the law, does it? Sounds more like he's trying to rewrite it. So really, what is going on here? We have established a couple of weeks ago that God wants us to be reconciled and in relationship with him and each other. It is the premise of the Sermon on the Mount, which we are smack dab in the middle of. Last week, we took this a step further and talked about how important it is for us to share what we have spiritually inherited. And this week, Jesus seems to go hardcore on some of the Ten Commandments, taking things a step further. So let's dive in. Jesus first connects anger and murder together, seemingly saying that harboring anger, lacking reconciliation, is just as bad as murder. Okay. Then we get to the part of adultery and lust. Jesus tells us that the act of adultery, well, it isn't recommended, but lusting after, trying to find ways to build relationships with someone who is already with another, is just as bad. Jesus then addresses divorce, as if the first two weren't enough. It would be easy here to read this at face value and say that this is a very arcane view of marriage and doesn't consider an expanded view of marriage and committed relationship. However, in this time in history, a divorced woman had very little social standing and would find themselves oftentimes destitute. Jesus' words here was an admonishment to those who would divorce their wife for little to no reason, leaving them vulnerable and to the wind. Things have certainly changed, and what we would say today is divorce sometimes is the most faithful choice we can make based on the circumstances. And reconciliation may not be the best or healthiest of options. Know that Jesus understands this. Lastly, he addresses falsehoods. Swearing on this, that, or the other means absolutely nothing. Simply honor each other with keeping one's word. Pretty straightforward. So what does this all mean? Jesus seems to take what the law is and expands it. Some might say making it more difficult or more mired. But is he? Remember what he said earlier, that he came to fulfill the law. What if Jesus was saying that intention, how we think about things, is just as important as the actual act itself? For example, saying you shall not murder is pretty straightforward, right? I think we can all agree that murder is bad. Murder we often associate with the ending of heartbeat, the stopping of life. But maybe this commandment, like Jesus is saying, can go deeper. There's something more to it. Where's root at? Jesus connects anger with murder, the intention of letting emotions override and steal life from others. He says, look beyond the end result, look beyond the act itself, but look at the root. Where is all of this stemming from? We might even say in today's society that not providing livable wages to employees is a form of murder. This, along with adultery, lust, divorce, and false oaths, all lend themselves to broken relationships in need of repair, if possible, and as best as possible. What seems to be at first glance a rewrite of the law is actually a beautiful call for examination and reflection. We are called into relationship with God and into relationship with each other. It's a covenant. We make that at our baptism. Part of that relationship is when things go sideways, that we examine ourselves and seek reconciliation when it's possible. That's why Jesus, at the start of our passage this morning, pushes us to go outside of our place of worship and go and be reconciled with that sibling. And when it isn't possible, we can find reassurance that God's grace is more than enough. This isn't easy. It's not easy to hear, it's not easy to digest, because in our society, our society tells us that if someone wrongs you, you seek revenge, not forgiveness. That individualism is key to survival. Jesus says this isn't so, that there is something about being in right relationship with each other that gives us a glimpse of the risen Christ. Sometimes it's easier to look directly into the sun rather than into the mirror, blinding ourselves from where God is pointing us, calling us to look. The good news is that Christ came to gather us and to reconcile us, giving us an abundant life to be shared with each other. How we examine ourselves, how we move towards reconciliation when possible, is bringing the kingdom of God into our very midst. The law that Jesus came to fulfill is a law of love and hope, not of calamity and hopelessness. Every time we move beyond ourselves and look for the risen Christ, the closer the kingdom is to each of us. The closer to God's original intent for us, which is blessing, comes to fruition. It's a struggle. It's a daily struggle. I don't know what relationships might need mending in your life. There are some in mine. But how can we move forward? How can we take those steps to reconciliation when it's possible? My prayer for each of us as we move closer to Lent is that our eyes might be open to God's work in the world, not just about us, but within us, and that we might find the courage to look within and see where God is leading us to reconciliation and repair. Amen.